We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking with our city officials today, City Manager Ron Fear and City Commissioner Linda Morse, who's also Mayor Pro Tem, going to be mayor in 2022, and having a discussion here about different city issues. Of course, the city does meet tonight. It is a rather short agenda with the audit taking up the bulk of the conversation tonight. Of course, it is election night as well. We encourage folks to vote. We're talking about some different boards. We talked about the Park and Rec Board, but there's a number of other advisory boards that the city kind of works with as well.
There are. So yesterday evening, the Manhattan Urban Area Planning Board met, and they had several public hearings. One of them was to establish and operate an electrical substation. That's an Evergy application, and That is here at Walters and Tuttle Creek Boulevard. It's actually in the county, so it was a county item, and that was approved 4-0. And then there's one of the things that will be coming forward for the City Commission that we've been talking about is the adoption of the new proposed Manhattan Development Code. We've spent a lot of time on it. That's currently scheduled for the Commission's November 16th meeting. The Planning Board did approve that moving forward. On a vote 4-0, and there were a few public comments relative to the plan with some suggestions, so staff will note those as that moves forward. And then at the same time, the Riley County is also updating their regulations that coincide with our development code. So the development code is a combination of the zoning regulations and the subdivision regulations, and we used to have those as separate documents. We've combined those all into one new modern code that I think will be easier for folks to understand and access. It'll be an online platform that is searchable on different aspects about, you know, what is it you're wanting to do, whether it's a developer or building or, you know, I want to build this fence on my side yard and I'm on a corner. What's the setback and what are the rules governing that? Or I want to put an addition or a deck, or what are the rules governing some of those components? So those are all items that the code covers, and I think it's a big improvement. And we spent a little over a year working on that, two years maybe. Linda says three. I don't think it's been quite that long, but we were, obviously COVID has stretched a lot of stuff out and interrupted some things. But we're pleased to start that formal adoption process. There's been a lot of community discussion and engagement along the way, and as I said, that'll be coming forward, and we'll talk about that more in a couple of weeks.
I'm encouraged about the city and the county both adopting the new, rather than having this hard line at the city boundary, there'll be the staffs have worked together to make that more transparent. There's always going to be a separation between state law on counties, cities, but this is going to make it that transition easier. And so that's important for the whole community.
With regards to this substation here, what will be the change here? Just like that's a pretty big area of different electrical lines over there.
So they have a substation there now. It's a relatively small one, and they're wanting to expand it. So I haven't seen all the details of it, but I assume it'll be similar to what Evergy did out maybe by the Tech College. They did a much larger modernization. You know, that subdivision's pretty old. I mean, the substation is pretty old, so I'm sure as the area has grown, they're wanting to upgrade their platform and their circuits and services there. So they've purchased some of the adjacent land where Walters Morgan Construction was, and they're planning to expand into that. Again, that little area right there, north of Walters and south of or east of Tuttle Creek Boulevard over to Kirkwood, the new extension to Marlette, it's still in the county. It's not inside the city limits.
Okay. I thought maybe there was some city interest in that area at one point for maybe commercial development at some point.
So the comprehensive plan does suggest that that area could be neighborhood commercial, but that's what the underlying zoning is called for. This would be an industrial type use and service area within that. So that's, you know, if that area ever does come into the city, I'm sure that it would support that. Now the other property owner has obviously expanded the storage units, so it doesn't leave a lot of room for a development from that particular area. But we've seen storage units go make way for things like Menards and other areas along McCall. So, I mean, it's something that doesn't preclude that development from happening in the future.
Okay.
I certainly had other things in mind for that corner commercially. And I saw the storage sheds go up, and I thought, that's not a real good fit with commercial, you know, busy commercial corner. And then when I saw this come through, you know, then it just eliminates other possibilities is all. But it's what we call infrastructure. And the city isn't paying for it. It is in the county. So we really don't, the city doesn't have really anything to say about it. And we all need electricity. And you've seen that the electricity needs in this community have just revved up. So we need to provide that long-term, for that long-term need.
Absolutely. We have a caller standing by. I believe Paul Foltz is standing by. Go ahead, Paul.
Good morning. I've said for years that the sun is always shining at Cayman, and as evidenced today by your two great city officials. Real quick comment. A lot of people think they're right most of the time. Well, I've known Linda for years, and when she was running for city commission, she will probably tell you, I was concerned. She's a great person, but I was just concerned. And proves again that nobody's right all the time, because she has done a wonderful job. She's running again, I think. Are you running again this year?
No, I was elected 2 years ago for a four-year term. I am so happy I'm not running this year.
So we're stuck with you for three more
we're
years.
Stuck for two more.
Two more, okay. My math isn't good either.
Thank you, Paul.
But anyway, thank you for what you're doing.
Sure.
And you have good ideas. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't, but that's pretty much America.
I know.
From the township to Washington.
Yep.
So you all have a great forever, and thank you very kindly for what you do. Good luck.
You can call again, Paul. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for that call. You know, we're talking again with Linda Morse and Ron Fear here on the City Commission. Speaking of the election, we do encourage people to vote. City Commission, not really sure what's going to happen tonight, how that's going to all shake out, but, you know, certainly as with eight candidates and nine technically on the ballot, one has officially withdrawn his name, but it's something we don't see all the time. Usually when you have city races, it's like three or four people maybe, but this is a little unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly a lot of interest, and, you know, it's been a while since we've had all three individuals that are up for re-election running again. So, I mean, you have three incumbents and technically six other folks that are interested. So I think it does show good interest in the election. And one of the things that has changed in local elections, both from the city races and the school board, is, you know, we used to be doing this in April of the odd year. The legislature changed that and moved it to November. And it used to be that whoever wins tonight would take office for city offices 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. So there isn't a lot of time to prepare. And I guess one of the benefits of the change to the fall has been that after tonight, they won't take office till the first Tuesday in January. So it does give them a little more time to prep, gives us more time to do some orientation for that. They're not just thrust into the work. And so the other aspect is, you know, in the April timeframe, that was kind of just starting the budget season. So and we're the city is focused on a calendar year for our operating cycle, and so this gets them at the start of the calendar year. So I think there's some advantages in some of that timing aspect.
It is unusual to have so many candidates, and that's not something we've seen in a lot of years. And I was asked, Ron and I were talking before we came on about how long ago that was that there were eight or nine candidates. As a matter of fact, remember 2 years ago, there were only four candidates for the school board, and they all four got elected because there was no competition. So the dramatic change to this year is pretty telling. The other is that some of the basic issues affecting the city have not even been discussed. And instead, there are all these flashy kinds of issues that are being raised. But there are some basic, I'm just saying it. The heart of what we do hasn't really been discussed.
Well, do you, and we've all seen how politics has changed over the last really 4 years, 5 years, maybe a little even longer than that. But what does that mean here? These are nonpartisan races here. That technically, the city and the school board are nonpartisan races, but we see politics creeping in there. And I know politics has always been around in part of the process, but it seems like it's taking away from the local aspect of these races. Can you comment on that?
Oh, I think it's the just coming out in the open, I suppose. But when I was a candidate, I tried not to involve other political candidates and other I had worked as a volunteer coordinator for Sidney Carlin's campaign for, I don't know, four or five of her campaigns. But I didn't bring anything to do with that campaign into running for the city commission. And I don't think it's appropriate. I think we need to focus on city issues. We need to focus on school board issues. And really, we're doing a disservice by bringing in these national issues and national, you know, commentary, I guess I'd say, because it keeps us from focusing on our what we need to talk about locally.
All right. Ron, did you have any?
Yeah, you know, it has been interesting to just kind of see the involvement and some of the times and certainly there has been significant partisanship, more so entering into the discussions everywhere. And some of the divide that's occurred, and that's probably been somewhat unavoidable. You might recall that the Kansas legislature, one of the reasons they moved or wanted to move the original proposal, when they proposed moving it from the April timeframe to the November, they wanted to consolidate it with the partisan elections on the even year. So they were all on the same ballot, which I think would have been even more difficult. I mean, the November ballot's full enough as it is without adding all of the local and city and school board components. So that was kind of a compromise to still try to keep it nonpartisan and not part of the bigger picture of partisan elections.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll take a look at some other city information here in a moment at News Radio KMAN. And Focus continues after this.